Tonight's quiet. It's a quiet night, but heavy with meaning. There's an upper room, a table prepared, lamps flickering in the evening air, men gathered around for a meal. They're there to celebrate the Passover, just like every little Jewish boy and girl has celebrated for hundreds of years before, since God miraculously rescued their people out of slavery from Egypt in the Great Exodus. This meal's more than a meal. It's ripe with meaning, dripping with symbolism, and abounding with hope. But something about tonight just feels different. Jesus knows that this is the night. The betrayal has already begun. Judas has already been paid his pieces of silver. The garden awaits, and the cross isn't very far away. But yet, before he goes to Gethsemane, before he's handed over, before even a single blow falls, he gives. He takes this ancient Passover meal, the high feast of the Jewish church year, their version of Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Easter, all rolled into one, and he makes it his own. He takes bread, and he gives thanks. He breaks it. "Take and eat. This is my body," he says. And they're like, "What are you talking about?" He takes the cup at the appropriate time during the meal. "Drink of this, all of you, for this cup is the New Testament of my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." What? Is Jesus lost his mind? What's going on? There's no urgency in his voice, no panic, no hesitation, only gift. Only a gift that he's giving to his people. The table is set in the presence of failure. Perhaps that's why it's set at all. The men around him don't really understand what's going on. They, you know, weren't really the brightest bulbs in the box at the moment. They weren't understanding what's unfolding. One will betray. Another's going to deny. They're all going to scatter by the end of the night, and he's going to be left alone to pay the bill. This table is set in the midst of weakness. You see, this meal isn't given for the strong. I know a lot of times we come to church, we put on our Sunday best, and we glad hand, and we share, and we talk, and we do men's events, and we do women's events, and we share about how good life is sometimes. And sometimes it's just a facade. When on the inside we feel like crying, and we feel like we're falling apart. No, this meal is not a meal for the strong. It's sustenance for the weak. It's medicine for the sick. It's glue for the broken. It's given to those who do not yet see clearly, those men who were around that table that night. It's given to those who will soon falter. It's given to us. We come with our own quiet betrayals, our own tired faith, our own unfinished repentance, but yet still Jesus says to us, "Take. This is my body. Broken not for the world, not for the good, not for the kings, not for the princes, not for those who deserve it, but broken for you." He calls it a testament, a will, a declaration of inheritance. A testament isn't advice. It's not a suggestion for living. It's a binding contract. It's a promise that only takes effect upon death. Tonight, Jesus speaks his will. He names what will belong to you and to me forgiveness, peace, reconciliation with our Heavenly Father, life that death cannot undo. He doesn't speak it abstractly. He doesn't prophesy or give profundities, talking like a college professor, you know, in front of his class, you know, acting like he's got all the answers here, you know. No, he doesn't do that. Even though he is the one who has all the answers, he attaches it to himself, to his body, to the blood that runs through his veins, to bread that's placed in your hand, to wine that you can put on your lips and drink and slosh around in your mouth for a second as you contemplate what this night means. No, this isn't memory alone. This isn't symbolism. This isn't memory for memory's sake or anything like that. Not going, skipping down memory lane, remembering, oh, remember those days when Jesus did that for us. It is that a little bit, but it's not that alone, because this is presence. It's a gift. Jesus is here. He was here, right here on this altar. He is with you right now. Before he's bound, he binds himself to you. But these words do not stay in that upper room. Given, shed. These words move us forward. The body given in bread will be given in suffering. The blood poured into the cup will be poured out beneath a darkened sky. Tonight, the gift has been placed in your mouth. Tomorrow, the gift will be upon wood. Yet the forgiveness isn't divided between tonight and tomorrow night. It's one whole story. It's one whole picture of what God is doing in our midst. Because the one who promises tonight doesn't fail to complete what he has begun tomorrow. There's a tenderness in his words when he says, given and shed for you. Think of those words, for you. It's so easy that we often say those things, right? You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The world, you know, the world. It's so easy to think about the world because it's so big and wonderful. What about me? The sinner I am. With the thoughts and the lies and the things and that I've done. This isn't God forgiving the world, which he does. It's his words are for you. Not for the crowds in general, not for humanity in theory, for you. For the sins you speak aloud, for the sins you bury and hide in silence, for the shame that follows you, for the fear that you don't want to name, for you. Given and shed for you. He gives himself. And in giving himself, he gives you something solid to hold on to when everything else trembles. When you've been betrayed, when you've been abandoned, when you've been denied, when you've been hurt, when you've been wronged, he still gives. And he gives in abundance. Tonight, we receive it quietly. Take. Eat. Take. Drink. Given and shed for you. For the forgiveness of all of your sins. Amen.